man. We had prayer in here on Friday. It got so outrageous that we were taking oil, anointing the walls, anointing the welcome area, because we've been pressing into this new series, the reintroduction. The reintroduction. That old version has to go. That old mindset has to go. That old posture has to go. We're being renewed constantly, over and over again in grace. We're being renewed over and over again in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're being renewed all over and over again in our mission and our assignment. And God wants us renewed because he wants to reintroduce us. He wants to bring all the pain and all you've been through. Everything you've been through has prepared you for a new moment, a breaking of a new day. God wants to bring you front and center. Who, me? Yes, you. Wants to bring you front and center, give you a new introduction so people can see the glory, the weight of God upon your life. It's time for expansion, people of God. I say it's time for expansion, people of God. That's something. I'm just going to repeat something. We're just going to get this in our spirit. Amen. I don't know if you've ever done it, but I've outgrown some clothes. Amen. I'm going the other way now. I'm going the other way. Amen. But when I was a child, I can't fit, amen, what I wore at 16. Amen. Maybe some of y'all can. Y'all still getting your prom dresses and wedding dresses. Amen. Y'all still wear. Amen. But you grow. And it requires you to change your clothes, change to what? Because you've grown. Sometimes, you know, we can get stuck trying just with the same language and the same mindset. And we don't realize we've grown. We're kind of like Samson, who lost his strength but didn't realize that his hair had grown back. Amen. Because they took his vision and they didn't realize that his strength had returned. What he had to do, he had to shake himself to realize what I thought I lost has returned. And that's what we're going to minister today. You know, we're going to minister on the subject of there's got to be a re. There's got to be a re. R-E. There's a God-ordained re. Oh, somebody said there's got to be a re. There's got to be a re. I got my notes, but I'm just not, I know I'm just going to have to flow on this because I could tell how the message had to came together. It wasn't just going to flow right. Amen. When you start putting stuff down, amen, and just adding stuff in, you're like, oh, Lord, okay, Lord, I see what you're doing. You just want a prophetic message released in this house today. There's got to be a re. I thank God for our friend Daniel here. Amen. With us today and all our guests. Let's give all our guests a hand. Let's give our connected community a hand. Amen. And I hadn't seen, man, I hadn't seen my brother. I hadn't seen him in about over 20 years. And since he was a young guy. We saw each other at Home Depot. My wife had me there buying something. But you never meet somebody, you come across somebody, and it's just like a Holy Ghost thing. It's like you haven't seen or talked or caught up and all that, but there's just a, amen, you just, man, this is a connection. And so he's a young prophet of God. I just know people by the Spirit. I have a measure of discernment. So we're going to minister the word. We're going to see how this all works out today. Yeah. I like that. Because now this is not my responsibility. I like this. Love this. Let's put up our declaration. We're going to read it together. We got some announcements, but we're going to come back to the announcements. And I'm just going to have the music flow today. Amen. Let's read it together. Father, I thank you for the word. As I receive, meditate, and obey your word, I become the word. Then I could do what your word says I could do. I can have what your word says I can have. The power of your word impacts 1,000 generations. Amen. Amen. Don't y'all like the new party? I don't have to put my water on the floor anymore and stuff like that. Hey, man. I want it. Anyway, I won't go there. I got a call from an apostle a couple of days ago who can't make it to our anniversary service on August the 10th. Apostle Eckhart's going to be with us. It's going to be a tremendous time. Amen. And we got 2 weeks to sell all the tickets you got. See how I slid that in. And we got people coming in from out of state. We got people that are coming in. Of course, you know, don't know us as well as they do Apostle Eckhart, but they're coming in. And I believe that God is going to use the man of God to not only speak to gen, but also speak to our region, because he's a true apostle of God. And also speaking to our next decade. So I got a call from an apostle friend of mine who can't make it. And she said, I'll say her name, because she wouldn't mind. It was Apostle Donna Stallings. She called me, said, I can't believe I'm not going to be there. I want to be with you. And I'm in Nigeria during that time. I won't be able to make it. I don't get back to the 12th. She said, but I thank God for what he's doing in this next decade of your house. And she said, I remember when we were at a former church together where we met, and you asked me, what are you going to do next? She wasn't Apostle Donna then. I said, what are you going to do next? And she said, I don't know. You know, I said, you know, I know there's a next for us. You know, I know, you know, thank God where we are and what we're learning and what God is doing in our life, but there is a next for us. She said, I thank you for that. I remember that conversation so vividly because it spoke confidence in my life. And as we talked, we were on the phone like 30 minutes. And as we talked, and I said, woman of God, I know you're hearing something from God. And she said, I hear the word magnitude. Magnitude. Large. Magnitude. So I hear that word over the next decade, and not just for you, but for your house, the ability to impart that which is large, vast, magnitude. I said, man, what a great word, magnitude. Sometimes, like I said about changing and embracing the new you, we lock all of the greatness of God and make it prisoner to our fears and our image and what we're going through. We reduce God to what we're going through. We suppress this magnitude. We suppress this greatness that's on the inside of us. Another word she gave, she said, I see a divine flip. You know, I like that. A flip. Because a flip is sudden. A flip is like, it was heads, now it's tails. How many received that? Divine flip, that magnitude, that, amen, that expansion of what God wants to do. And what God does the nature of God is that God gives us a re. Because there's got to be a re. Sometimes we don't like to repeat things. Re means to do it again. Sometimes it means again and again. I'm glad that God is not a God of only one shot, one chance, one opportunity. That's why I don't like to see people talking, they're harder than God. If God gives you a redo, why can't you give somebody else a redo? A do-over. God is a God of the re. He knew his people would need the re. The ability to do it again. The ability to repeat. He knew they would need restoration because Adam and Eve blew it. So God says, I've got to do the re. I've got to release the re. There's got to be a re. Got to find a way for people to come back to me. I'm merciful. I'm loving. So that I'm merciful and loving, I also, amen, I'll extend the reed. Amen. Don't you ever like this, Lord, I wish I could just redo it. I just need to redo this. Come on, Lord, please let me redo this. I just need to redo this. You say something, he said, oh God, you want to go into a time machine, go back and just spend the time backwards. Oh God, why I say that? I done said it a lot of times up here. I mean, not a lot, lots. A lot. Not like every Sunday. But I've had my share over 10 years of saying, I wish I could redo that. It is said that God loves that prefix, that verb of re. 136 times, restore in the word of God. Rebuild, repair. God loves re. Let me give you a couple verses here. Isaiah 58:12. It says, I will restore David's fallen shelter. Somebody say restore. Restore. I will repair. Somebody say repair. Repair. His broken walls. And restore. Say restore again. Restore. Its ruins. And rebuild. Somebody say rebuild. It as it used to be. That was Amos 9:11. Excuse me for that. Isaiah 58:12 says, your people. Now that's God. Amos is God rebuilding. Amen. Isaiah 58. Look what it says. Your people, who's building us? You rebuilding. Amos is God rebuilding. Isaiah is you rebuilding. Your people will rebuild. Say rebuild. The ancient ruins would raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called. You will be called. The repairer of broken walls. Restorer of streets with dwellings. You will be called. So there's a re in God and there's a re in you. I have, over this past week, I've got some books on Jewish customs and the teachings of Rabbi Jesus that connect Jesus with the cultural times. I love those books. I haven't been able to put them down. Just been reading. Because, we don't speak in Bible language, Bible days. Amen. We don't talk like hit. Thou wittest, thou goest. And we don't understand, some of the idioms of the teachings of Jesus. When they talk about agriculture, unless you've been a farmer, you don't really connect with that. So I'm loving these books because it's giving me just renewing a fresh perspective of what God is saying and how I can really drill it down to 2024. Yes. One of the words, let me just give you one. I got a lot of them, but I won't give you. I know y'all want all of them, but if you got 2 hours, I can go through a few. Yes, I got my stuff on the slow cooker. Come on. All right. Here's one, the word path. Path. Path is prominent in the Bible because they didn't have mass transit. So they had paths, walkways. And path in the Bible describes, amen, that's it in the natural, but path in the Bible describes your life as a path or road that you are walking on. The book of Proverbs in Proverbs 4 and 18 says the path of the righteous is like at the morning sun, shining ever brightly till the full light of day. The word path comes from the Hebrew word, O-R-A-C-H, orach. It's a word that describes the direction of your life. It refers to a well-trodden path or road. You ever go walking on a trail through woods, you can easily distinguish the path because the path is well-trodden. In other words, it's been walked on so much that it has formed this trail. So when the Bible speaks of a person's path, they're speaking of their way of life, their well-trodden road. Let me make it, bring it even clearer. So if a person wants to change their life, they have to change their path. They have to change their direction. Because you can't change your life on the same road or the same path. You have to get on another path. Another road. The Bible talks about the path that leads to destruction. Broad and is wide. It's not enough for people to get on Instagram and say in their description, God's first in my life. If you're on the same path. You have to change your path to change your life. People want to wear God as a lucky charm. They want the same life on the same path. But if you want to change your life, you got to change your path. What is the path that changes your life for God? Jesus says, I'm the way. That word way relates to this word, orach, I am the path. So if you want to change your life, you've got to get on my path in my word and be obedient and learn how to walk on that well-trodden road. In other words, you got to find you a new path, a new road, a new trail. Amen. You can't be on the same path, young people, as your friends. If your parents on the wrong path, you got to get on another path. That's going to lead you away from some of your friends. How can two walk together on the same path unless they what? Agree. Either they going to follow your path, or you going to follow their path. I love that word. Such insight on that word. You change your life. If you want to change your life, change your direction. Change your path. Change your decisions. Psalms 119 and 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen. Another one that it does, and I'm you know, these words, and they're just awesome, is the kingdom of heaven. And I love preaching about the kingdom. Because I believe that we all need to be kingdom people, and we need to educate ourselves, you know, about the kingdom. But sometimes it's not easy to understand the kingdom because we didn't come back from those days. We didn't come from those days. So when I was looking at the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus teaches these things from the idioms, the statements, the sayings of his days. Jesus says things like, it's like a mustard seed, or it's like a fisherman's net, or it's like a farmer who had a weedy field. I don't know about y'all, but a weedy field, that don't connect. Fisherman's net, no, that don't necessarily connect. But this, so how do we get this? We have to go back in that time and extract it to our present. And just hang with me, because we going somewhere. And when we talk of kings and kingdoms, we can often see that it kind of appears irrelevant and archaic. You know, conjure pictures of the king with the big crown on his head, and the big mantle on him. It speaks of dictators. And I like those eras, those genres, that period of time. It speaks of fairy tales that we read our kids about king and princess. But to really get the kingdom, we have to understand it from his time, and we have to look at the word kingdom of God. It's interesting that in this reading that Matthew used kingdom of heaven. Mark, Luke, and John say kingdom of God. When Matthew was speaking to Jews who would not pronounce the name God, so he couldn't say kingdom of God. He had to say kingdom of heaven, because people would know that it's God, but because he couldn't say the name God because it was so holy, he said kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven is the same. But what does it mean? The phrase kingdom of heaven is an idiom common to rabbinic teaching. Comes from two words, because we think of a place. It comes from the word, I'm not even going to try to pronounce this, M-S-L-K-N-U-T. That translates kingdom. Now, if you can pronounce that, you get the star for the day. It sounds like a place or government, but in ancient sense, it's not that. It's not a place. It's not a government. It's actually the actions and dominion of a king. So it's not a place. It's the actions. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, are the actions. That's all right, we're going to get there. And the dominion of a king. It speaks of his reign and authority and anyone who is under his authority. I'm going to tell you why this is important in just a second. Because this shifted my whole message of restoration. It shifted my whole message. Let me just get this one more verse. I'll tell you why it shifted my message. Luke 10 and 8 and 9. Jesus was teaching his disciples. He says, when you enter the town and are welcome, eat what is offered to you, heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. That's another phrase. If we don't really look it up and read it in its time and language, we'll miss it. Because if it says that the kingdom of heaven is near to you, I'm near to Pastor Gail. That means it's still at a distance. It's near. That's not as powerful. That's not as powerful. Here's what the word means. My wife calls me a nerd. She, you know, I've been reading it. You know, she says, you're such a nerd. Hey, man, I'm not a nerd, but anyway. All right. This near comes from the Hebrew word K-A-R-A-V, karav. And it speaks of an intimate near. An intimate near. The same word is used in Isaiah 8 and 3. Isaiah 8 and 3, where the Bible says Isaiah came near his wife and she bore a child. Well, let me tell you, that near is a little closer than a proximity near. It's an intimate near. So when Jesus said, do the kingdom, which are the actions of the kingdom, demonstrate the actions of the kingdom, and let the people know that the kingdom is near. In other words, it's near. If you would embrace it, it will come inside of you. It impregnate you. Now, that's what makes sense. When Jesus said the kingdom is like a seed, a mustard seed, it is the seed planted in you. This is why it changed how I was going to preach today. Now, I'll explain now. Because I had it all set. I don't really tune up. But, man, I was ready to work that. And restoration is coming to you. You know, restoration. That's your dough. You know how you do. God's going to rebuild you. But you know what? When I saw this, this is what it did. It showed me that all the rees of God are on the inside of you. And sometimes as believers, what we do, we pray for something to come to us externally. We say, God, we act like, we treat God like he has the accounted wing in heaven. And you know, Lord, I lost 5 cows, 2 sheep, and 1 donkey. And you're going to give me double for my trouble, so I need 10 cows, 4 sheep, and 2 donkeys. It doesn't work like that. That comes by the kingdom. It's on the inside of you. It's part of salvation. It's part of salvation. So what is the rees of God? The rees of God are to get you back to God's original design. Trump has a message. Make America great again. I'm going to give, people can keep their tips, no taxes. I'm going to close the border. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to set up an environment in which hopefully you can flourish in. That's what a good politician wants to do. Biden says, I'm going to have the wealthy pay taxes, their share. I'm going to cut taxes to the poor. I'm going to extend child care to parents so they can work. Hopefully I'm going to create an environment that you can benefit from. The kingdom doesn't need to work that way because God already knows what serves you best, because his kingdom comes inside of you and it takes you back to the original design. It takes you to a pre-hurt status, you, before you got hurt. It comes inside of you and takes you back to a pre-trauma you. It takes you back to that unscarred you. It restores to you who you were in the womb before your parents forsook you. It heals you before you got into that relationship that scarred you. It takes you back. It heals you. This is what I love about the kingdom, though. When it rebuilds you, it doesn't remove your memory of a thing. But the very thing of rebuilding you and reestablishing you and replanting you and reviving you gives you dominion over the thing that had you. You see, sometimes we hinder the rebuilding of God on the inside of us. We're looking for this person. We're looking for this thing. We're going to read. I mean, it's okay to read this, but we need to have an intimate connection to the kingdom. It's the actions of God. It's the actions of God that rebuild us. So he saves you. Huh. Oh, God. And the reeds on the inside of you. He delivers you, sets you free. The more intimate you become with the kingdom, the more you discover your kingdom self. The more you get involved with the kingdom, you come in face-to-face contact with the kingdom's power. That you're not fighting this on your own. You're not doing this in your flesh. But Jesus said it this and this. Oh, I love this. He said the kingdom is like a little leaven or a little yeast. My grandmother cooked with yeast. Flatten out that dough. Back then they used flour and yard. Lard. But we didn't get sick. I don't know, man. It was all right. I mean, we ate that, man. That biscuit was good to the bug. Get it out the oven, man. Let me tell you something. You had something. It'd go in the oven like this. But because of the yeast, it'd come out like that. Jesus said, the kingdom on the inside of you, that seed, that comes in you when you accept Christ, when you're reborn, when you're born again, when you're, amen, reborn and recreated in his image, that kingdom on the inside of you, amen. You may not see it immediately, but it's rising. It's increasing. It's expanding. It's healing. It's giving. It's rebuilding. That's why you don't get tired and don't get frustrated with the process. Stay in the process because the kingdom is working. It's expanding. It's bringing deliverance. It's bringing healing. And God doesn't need to create a political environment. He doesn't need to create that. Amen. What God does, amen, he knows how to rebuild you. Come on, tell somebody, God knows how to rebuild you. God knows how to repair you. God knows how to renew you. Just have to trust God. Become intimate with the kingdom. Let the kingdom do its work. Another thing I saw, I said, God, you took Israel out, had Assyria come and capture them. You took Judah out. Babylon took them out of their land because they disobeyed you. And you were so concerned that you sent the prophets to say, you're going into captivity, you're going into this place. But I know I have the plans I have for you. I'm going to release people to come back to this land and rebuild the temple that Solomon built that was destroyed. I'm going to release a company of people. I want you to hear me. Nehemiah and his team that will rebuild the walls because that's the place I have for you. I said, God, if you said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? If you're so invested in rebuilding lands, physical walls, physical temples, so that they would have a place to worship, if you are so invested in brick and mortar and dirt and sand and stones or whatever, how much more
are you invested in rebuilding the soul of where of humans, where your spirit dwells? How much more invested, Father, when you spoke to nations and brought them back to a physical place, but now you have put your kingdom on the inside of people. The power of your kingdom, how much more invested are you in the healing of your people? He is a rebuilder. I like what David said. He restores my soul. He's a restorer of my soul. He's a restorer of my soul. Come on, lift your hands and worship right there. He's a restorer of my soul. He's a restorer of my soul. Oh God, He's a restorer of my soul. He's invested in my soul. His dominion is within me. It's in me, the seed of the kingdom. He's invested in my healing. The restorer of my soul. He's the healer of my soul. There's so much focus on mental wellness right now. You know what? We need the king. We need the kingdom because he knows how to restore the soul. Because he knows what he made you. He knows what you're supposed to be. He knows your design. He knows your kingdom design. He knows your kingdom pattern. He knows it. He knows it. And all that you've been through, he's able to heal your soul. To repair your soul. To rebuild your soul. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, if I were you, I would just be hungry in this moment. I'd just be hungry for the healing of my soul. There's so many people. Amen. We don't have to have so many hurt people in the church because Jesus' kingdom's on the inside. This is a house of healing. This is a house where the souls of men and women are restored. No more waste places. No more waste places. No more dry places. Because on the inside of you is a kingdom river. Inside of you is a kingdom flow. The actions of God on the inside of you. The seed of the kingdom. It starts small, but man, it grows. And it becomes the largest among the trees. Not a small thing. It's a huge thing. It restores your soul. I speak to everyone that's experienced fragmentation. And you don't know who you are because of what you've been through. Oh my God. What you've been through. You just don't even see all of you. It's just fragmented. I speak healing, and the pieces of your soul come back together. That God repairs the breach, the openings, the gaps, the broken walls, the broken gates of your soul. I decree that in the name of Jesus. Repairs the breaches. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Receive that in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rama Batesteta Rosta. Yeah, yes, 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 yes. I decree that the kingdom is released over trauma, that seed on the inside of you. In the name of Jesus. That God takes that trauma, and you have an amen, and he heals you of that trauma. He heals you of it in the name of Jesus. You won't be stuck there. And what the therapist can do, what the doctor can do, God does with a seed of his dominion in your life. Woo! Oh God, I break the spirit. I'm just flowing. I break the spirit of depression and oppression over your life. Father, your seed of the kingdom rises. It rises up on the inside. It rises up on the inside. Hey, Father, in the name of Jesus. Come on, people. You got to want it. You got to want it. You got to want it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for our healed identity being healed, our kingdom identity, our kingdom mandate. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing and the restoration and the deliverance that comes from the actions of God. The kingdom of God on the inside of us. Now let me end with this. Let me end with this. Let me end with this. God takes you through healing. And he takes you through a process. He begins to repair you. We read that in Amos. You begin. He repairs, rebuilds. He does a work in you. Then he gives you the mantle. And you become the repairer. You become the one that imparts healing. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. Just change that. That's what Jesus did. Jesus came and he said, I preached the kingdom. Then he walked through the streets. People came on all sides of him. Right side, left side. He healing them. Casting out devils. What is he doing? He's demonstrating the kingdom that's on the inside of him. He becomes the healer. He becomes the deliverer. He becomes the repairer. That's why, people of God, we got to get healed. We get stuck on, amen, we can't stay in a hospital all our lives. We can't stay in ICU, amen, been in church 20 years, and we still on a life support. He repairs us, so we become a repair. Isn't that what, amen, put up Isaiah again, 58. Amen, we become the repairer. We become a city of refuge. We don't become the, we just making it survive. How you doing? I'm surviving. I'm making it. I hope to see tomorrow, the Lord willing. Your people, your people. This is the fast chapter. Your people, you. Come on, tell somebody you. You're going to rebuild ancient ruins. How are you going to tap into ancient ruins? With kingdom vision. Build, rebuilding them back to the original purpose. Through the eyes of God. You will raise up age-old foundations. Foundations in people's lives, they don't even know what's supposed to be there. They got distorted views. They're damaged. They're hurt. That's why we have to witness for God. You're gonna raise up age old, and you will be called what? A repairer of broken walls where people are broken. Amen. You need to submit to the kingdom in your life so you can become the repairer of broken walls. And then what? A restorer of streets with dwellings. You become the healer. You become the restorer because you've been through the process. And now you operate in kingdom. And what is kingdom? It's the actions. It's dominion. We spoke yesterday in our council meeting about coming together, picking a certain outreach assignment. and beginning to pray and get the burden of God and begin to really undertake the assess it and see where it's broken and go in there apostolically and through partnership and really bring in change in that area, because that's what we're called to do. Not just to always receive, but to rebuild, to raise up, to repair, to restore. Let's stand. My God. I want to minister first to those of us online. I pray you receive this word. I want you to tag and share it with others. God wants to do such a tremendous work in your life. There's so much greatness in you, you really don't see it. Sometimes we're stuck in what we've gone through. We're a victim of our experience, and we don't see the plan of God for our life. But he wants to restore you and take you back, bring his original design, purpose, and image out of your life. If you don't know Jesus as Lord, that's where it starts. Just say, Jesus, I accept you as Lord. I receive your kingdom. Teach me your ways. Give me your word. Give me insight. And he'll do that. No one can repair your life like Jesus. You accept him. You can reach out, call us. The information's on the screen. We'll call you and give you what's next and connect with us. Come out to a service. God has tremendous things for your life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, give our connected community a hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is not just a general word, but it's for you, daughter. It's for you. It's a young lady in her later 20s, and the Lord says, "Daughter, I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you and your struggles and what you've gone through." And the Lord says, "I desire to repair and to rebuild in your life." The Lord says, this is not the first time you've heard my call and heard my appeal. The Lord says, I send my word to you and your household. The Lord says, you're not too far and you're not too broken. You cannot be repaired and can't be healed. So I release my love and I release my design. And I release my presence even upon you now to break that which has oppressed you. That which has lied to you and said it is over. So just receive it. Receive it. In the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to put up the ways to give and the announcements. Join me tomorrow at 6 a.m. for our Monday launch prayer in the name of Jesus. God bless our connected community. Hallelujah. Listen, people of God, if you're tired of being stuck,